Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Tuesday, the 15th of September. My name's Nick here in Melbourne. Starting with sustainability, ESG investing, the Australian newspaper mentions that the Climate Action 100 Plus initiative, which is a grouping of sort of buy-side organisations, mostly superannuation funds, that control over $64 trillion in global assets, and includes Australian Super, AMP, Cbus, IFM, QSuper, BT. They are there to sort of pressure large companies to not only commit to decarbonising their businesses, but also in going into detail about exactly how they're going to do it. So they're going to target a lot of blue chip Australian names, including Rio, BHP, AGL, Woodside, Woolworths and Qantas, some very large emitters there, AGL being the largest. However, if you take in downstream, you know, customer emissions, then the coal companies are obviously up there as well. Now, they will assess the businesses against 30 different indicators, including the company's actual ambitions, their targets, their decarbonisation strategy, capital alignment, capital policy, climate policy support, governance and reporting. So they also go on to mention that, you know, the big miners, Rio and BHP, have committed to net zero emissions by 2050, but they haven't really outlined how they're going to do that. So these big investors, you know, some of these super funds own large stakes in the Australian miners. So they're going to require more clarity on how they're going to do these, you know, implement these carbon reduction targets, and also on any sort of medium term ones, because obviously 2050 is still a long way away. So apparently 50 of the 160 global companies this grouping tracks have already committed to net zero emissions goals. So BHP, they have said they would put 10% of their leadership team's bonus payments on the line over the mining giant's aim to reduce carbon emissions by 30% by 2030. And then Rio as well, which has recently had a board spill, has said they will meet their zero emissions by 2050, but then also reduce them by 15% from 2018 levels through to 2030. And they're going to spend $1 billion on carbon reduction measures. But unlike, as I mentioned, BHP, Glencore, Vale agreeing to set scope 3 targets. So these are scope 3 targets are the ones where the customers' downstream sort of emissions are included. Rio's refusing, probably because Rio sells a lot more coal. So that would, you know, they'd mean they'd have to sort of somehow, to get carbon neutrality there, it would be, you know, a mammoth task. But once again, it's a real sign that sort of the buy side and the, you know, the investors are really pressuring companies to transform their business more than just sort of ESG allocations, but actually sort of through activated sort of lobbying. Continuing with the theme of ESG investing, this sort of concept of stakeholderism, as the Economist newspaper calls it, has been brought into question recently at a conference at the University of Chicago, which, as you may know, that was home to Milton Friedman, and it sort of even got a reputation as being the Chicago school of thinking. They're very much the neoliberal sort of Reagan-Thatcher style of thinking. And the conference was about what is the actual purpose of corporations. So the topic was political economy of finance in 2020. Should corporations have a social purpose? And it basically brings into question Milton Friedman's sort of very well-articulated philosophy that the main reason for corporate boards and management is to maximise shareholder value, i.e. get the share price as high as possible. So, you know, he mentioned Milton Friedman in the 70s. What does it mean to say that the corporate executive has a social responsibility in his capacity as a businessman? If this statement is not pure rhetoric, it must mean that he is to act in some way that is not in the interest of his employers. So yeah, he's saying that, you know, it's unjustified and nonsensical to be doing this. Basically, his argument is that if it doesn't boost the share price, then it's not in the interest of the company. And I guess, you know, the way things are blurring, particularly with global warming. You could argue global warming will almost certainly negatively impact many businesses, and therefore actions that will involve reducing carbon emissions is actually in the interest in the long term. And, you know, depending on what time frame you place on the sort of share price returns, you know, it could be a 50-year strategy, but it would ultimately boost shareholders' interests or returns. Now, there was sort of a lot of discussion about the different sort of forms of this stakeholderism. So the sort of the weak form of stakeholderism is sort of what I've mentioned, and that is Friedman ultimately, or The Economist magazine, mentions that, you know, he would agree with most of the sort of the weak form of stakeholderism, and that is that, you know, there is, you know, directors and CEOs should take actions that help others if they benefit shareholders in the long run. But what certainly Friedman would not sort of attest to is the sort of the strong theory of stakeholderism. And that's where, you know, companies and boards are allowed to sort of take actions that will conflict with maximizing the share price. So the main concern with this is that it would increase the insulation of corporate leaders from shareholders, reduce their accountability, and hurt economic performance. In other words, it's sort of a way to advance the concept of managerialism, i.e. the managers running the business and they call the shots, not, you know, ultimately the owners of the business. And they're saying, you know, it's calling, putting managerialism in stakeholderism clothing. So, you know, sort of collapsing the two. Another point that's brought up, which, you know, is highly relevant, is it's very hard to have these sorts of, you know, management really adequately judge what is the overall best sort of action to take. Let's say if it's to reduce carbon emissions, do they have to have a sort of overarching comprehensive strategy, or could it be things such as, you know, offsetting emissions? Is that really the best thing? There's a lot of blurriness about sort of what is really the most sort of consistent and efficient and effective way. It's very easy to sort of say, oh, we've done this, we've planted a tree, therefore we're great, or, you know, we've pledged to this, therefore we're good, and oh, you know, although our profits have collapsed, we've done this and, you know, saved this and done that for the community. Those sorts of things, it does get very messy. And, you know, there's sort of consensus at this conference that, you know, ultimately regulation and, you know, government guidelines are by far the best. So, you know, carbon emission trading schemes, with, you know, carbon tax and cap and trade, all these sorts of things which, you know, many of these sort of strategies have been proposed at the federal level here in Australia. But these things, you know, mean there is this sort of uniform, consistent thing. And having, leaving it to the realms of sort of management, which is ultimately conflicted between maximizing share prices and these things, it would allow a sort of level playing field and a more sort of robust and rigorous approach to reduce emissions. So there's certainly a lot to sort of be considered there going forward. Certainly the question of stakeholderism and how much of a role it has to play in running companies will, I think, become even more pertinent. Moving to the markets now, it's all green in the US. The S&P is up about 2%, NASDAQ up 2.6%, even the Russell's up, 2.9%, so very strong there. There is some news flow on from Pfizer, the CEO there, Albert Bourla, says it's likely that the US will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the broad public before the end of this year. So that and a lot of sort of vaccination machinations which went on during the weekend seem to be driving risk appetite higher. Coming up here in Australia, we have house price data, which is looking to be negative. And that is your update for Tuesday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.